Hello, everyone. My name is Jacob Minig. I am the host of the Behavior Health Integration Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest named Michelle Goss. Michelle currently works at Spirit Mountain Healing Center as a horse-guided coach. She has had the privilege of bringing horses and people together for over 35 years, just for the purpose of starting conversations about mental health and personal life issues, which, again, are never easy. And overall, I just have to say we're all in for a great treat today. Michelle, thanks again for being on my podcast. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, want to know, in a sense, like, when did you know you wanted to be in the behavioral health field?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I can't honestly say that I've ever known exactly when. I've always just kind of been there.
Okay.
And I'll explain that. The first word out of my mouth was horse, not mom and dad. I've always had a passion for animals and their behaviors and learning things. I've always had a very deep passion for learning. I get bored easily, as I say. So I spend as much time around animals and my dog and this and that. I've just always had a sense and a deep passion to understand whys, the curiosity side. And so as I moved through my life with horses and learning how to train them, and I went to college for equine science and all these things, as I developed, a lot of it behavioral just became natural because I'm working with horses. I had to understand their behavior. I had to understand my behavior in order to work with them and not get killed in the process. I've worked with everything from miniature horses to wild Mustangs to big draft horses. And so understanding that relationship, because we are all in some form of relationship. And if I was going to work with them, because the dynamics between horse and human is very unique, because humans are predators and horses are prey animals. So by biology, we're supposed to be chasing them and eating them. So if I come at them in predator mode with negativity or too much energy, I'm going to get a flight response from them. Not conducive when you're trying to teach a horse or riding lessons or whatever, as I've done professionally for 30 years, if your horse is taken off all the time because he's in flight mode. So it's understanding that energy and the dynamics between the two entities. Because horses, I mean, in an instant can kill us, and not maliciously, but instantaneously, because of their size, their speed, their agility, their strength. And here I'm, you know, I'm a little fly and I'm going to get on their back, which is one of their most vulnerable places. Everything we do with horses as far as riding and training goes against our natural instinct and goes against their natural instinct. So for us to even be able to do what we do is just, you know, awe-inspiring. I mean, I have had the pleasure of working with horses for jumping, driving, chasing cow, you know, all the things we do with these animals. And then to bring it back around full circle, you know, to incorporate them into behavioral health as a true entity, as a modality, experiential, you know, is just really cool. So, I mean, I guess that's part of it. How I got really into it was I found myself, well, 07, 08, when the economy tanked, riding lessons were a luxury item, not a necessity. I've got to put food on the table, you know, bills paid and that sort of thing. Things went on okay, but then I fast forward, I find myself being a divorced single mom. And that, so I was like, I need something sustainable, you know.
Now, were you in Wisconsin at this time?
No, I've all been in Arizona at this point. I've been out in Arizona for nearly 25 years now.
Oh, gee. Okay. Wow.
So this is all down here. And, so anyway, I started kind of looking around, what do I want to be when I grow up again, so to speak? And counseling and helping people kept kind of showing a theme. And a client of mine was a licensed clinical social worker at a school. So I reached out to her because I thought, well, this could take years for me to do. And she's like, no, like 2 or 3 years, you can be a licensed counselor. I went, oh, well, I can handle that. And she took me to a clinic, equine assisted clinic in Tucson, Arizona, and introduced me to what I now call horse guided coaching. Nice. But that realm, and I just went, that's it. This is my passion. This is where I belong. This is my purpose. Everything I'd experienced from prior, just it all fits in very uniquely for me.
Now, I got a question. Are the rules different to become like an LPC, so like a licensed professional clinical counselor in the state of Arizona compared to Minnesota?
There's different rules, yes. I'm an LAC right now here in Arizona, and each state unfortunately has their own rules and ways to get there, et cetera, and that. And I know there's pushing in the mental health field to try to create either a uniform thing across all our states or reciprocity. I believe there's a couple of states around Arizona, and I wouldn't be for certain, that do reciprocity. But yeah, it's a big block if you're moving from state to state, because each state's different. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I work with horses. It's as a mental health professional. Mm-hmm. I just have the horse part added to that. So my master's is in counseling and psychology with equine assisted mental health as my add-on, if you will. That was my concentration. So, I don't know what it is in Minnesota, but I'm sure they're probably both different.
For us, I believe it's 4,000 hours post graduate.
I think the last year was 32 for us.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But I know things change constantly, so. But that's a lot of how I got into it. I mean, I've never really thought about that myself until then. It's just kind of been a natural organic evolution from my passion of working with horses. I kind of consider myself a behavioralist because I've been working with people and horses. I work generally with anxiety, traumas, and depression, which I've done a lot of that work with people with their own horses or dealing with riding lessons and all these different very unique aspects. And that's why I love what I do, because it's always different. Horses either give us what we need or show us what we need. And that's really powerful.
It is. It always surprised me on how much, they are alike us, where I hear horses, obviously they love, they hate, they bully one another. And it's just very interesting.
Oh yeah. They have just as many emotions as we do. The difference is we are the only animals on the planet that has the ability to ask why, which is cool, because you and I are in Zoom and podcasts and all these cool creative things. But on the flip side, we get stuck in the whys if we can't find those answers, if we're fear-based. The other thing is no other animal can do besides humans is we can create our own emotional reaction by thought alone. Mm-hmm. If anybody's ever sat and stewed about something, suddenly your anxiety's up or your anger's up or your irritation or depression. No other animal can do that. If a horse gets depressed, they work through it. I've had horses in my herd depressed. They've lost a herd mate, and he was depressed for nearly 2 weeks.
Okay.
Just quiet, reserved, he'd eat, but not as normal, just not a normal self. But he processed. He didn't stew on it, it's just allowing the process to happen. And once it was done, it was done. Whereas people we know can stay depressed for years, their whole life, and a lot of it is because they get stuck creating their own emotional response by thought. It's where
it delays the recovery.
Thought change of behavior comes in very well.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it just amazes me how they're in tune with us so much, where you can't hide anything from a horse, right? It's just they know.
Oh, no,
for some
you cannot
reason.
Lie to a horse. You can lie to yourself all day long. But Well, they're very tuned because they're prey animals. They're very tuned to read body language and energy. They have to. Their main means of defense is running. So they need to be very efficient as far as what they choose to run from and not run from. They have one of the best memories in the animal kingdom. in order for that to happen. I mean, if you think about it, a 1,000-pound animal has a stomach 4 to 6 gallons and eats grass all day. Not a lot of nutrition there. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, to run at nearly 25, 35 miles an hour. That's a lot of energy. You don't want to go wasting that. So
absolutely.
The best analogy I always say, I tell my clients when they're out there to explain this is, I'll say, pretend my horses are out, they're wild horses and they're out in a big field and we're just observing. Okay. And they're doing their thing and grazing. And then here comes a mountain lion across the ridge. You know, instantly somebody looks up and goes, okay, they acknowledge. And in seconds, they've got to assess, has that mountain lion eaten or am I going to be eaten? And if you think about it, there's a subtle difference there. Yeah. I love the commercial Hangry.
Hangry.
From I think it's Circle K or Quick Trip or something. And it's, you know, when you're hungry, you're irritated, you can get nasty. And it gives off a different energy. Your body carries differently versus if you just eaten Thanksgiving dinner, you're wanting to go take a nap and who cares? And they need to be able to assess that within seconds, because if the mountain lion's going to eat them, they need to start running.
Yes.
But if the mountain lion is eaten, he's just walking through and passing along, they don't need to spend that energy on something that's not necessary. And the efficiency of that. So they're very good at reading body language and seeing the authenticness of the person. I had a client in the round pen working with a horse who was very disconnected from herself. And she was trying to get this horse to do stuff and he's running around the pen and it's just chaos going on. And you can see she's getting frustrated, she's getting angry, she's getting irritated, and it's just getting bigger and bigger. Finally stopped, said, okay, what's going on? We took some time to process, and when she got in touch with that and actually acknowledged it and talked about it and released it, that horse came over immediately and put his head on her shoulder. And happened 5 separate times within an hour. Every time she was incongruent with herself, boom, the horse was gone. It was chaos. It was reflecting her inner energy. It was turmoil. It was chaos. As soon as she calmed it down and could get in touch with it and do something with it, he felt safe. He'd come over and support her. And, you know, that's the power of it. I mean, I could go on how it works for most of us. So we can try to figure out. Most of us really don't know, but we know it works. Okay. And that's the most important thing. I mean, yeah, there's biology and all that, but when you boil it right down to it, you know, why does the sun come up in the east and set in the west? Because, and that's it, you know. But it's a very powerful modality to work with, and that, you know, you can work with groups, individuals, families, kids, just all sorts of different things around all those issues.
And I could just imagine the state of Arizona being perfect for what you do. And I don't know why. I'm not trying to stereotype Arizona, but it just seems like a perfect place to have that type of therapy.
Well, a lot of it, I think, because we have kind of the Western theme with horses and stuff. I mean, we do have good weather. Right now, the summer is a little atrocious, but we have good weather most of the year when everybody else is under snow. We don't have to shovel sunshine while we're down here. So I have a lot more time to be and freedom to work with everybody and, you know, more time to do that. And I don't need a lot of special, I don't need an indoor facility and things like in Four Seasons states, though they do have those, but my costs are down a lot more and that. But a lot of it, there isn't a whole lot out here either. A lot of, I mean, there are, but a lot of them are out on the East Coast and in different areas.
Really?
It's starting to spread farther and farther. So kind of a pioneer out here in some ways. So
do you think like equine therapy could just still be more spread out there? Do you think it, obviously you said it's not as big as it can be in your opinion, right? It needs to be.
Oh, it's still fairly young. I always joke it's like a 6th, 7th grader, not quite a high schooler. You know, for when I first started my graduate work, it was in its infancy. I mean, we always joked about it that people look at you and go, that's hoodoo voodoo. There was no scientific data behind it. We knew it worked, but there was qualitative, not quantitative. Autism is actually what put equine-assisted works on the map. Autism was able to, they have specific tests that can measure and be scientifically recorded, that quantitative data. And they were able to morph some of those tests to use autistic people and kids with horse guided therapies and things like that in the coaching, and actually measure the progress, actually get tangible results that were measurable. And suddenly it became quantitative data, and the scientific community went, okay, this works. And that launched it huge. What's that?
Oh, how did they analyze that behavior in the autism children? Like, how, like certain characteristics?
I don't know exactly. I just know there were there's tests that were created to help like measure progress for autistic people, and that to see what things were helping and to make it better. And they were able to shift that to the horse guided coaching and equine assisted programs, and actually get measurable results and see improvement. You know, prior to that, I mean, somebody who came to me for anxiety and felt better, they felt better, great. But how do you measure that? You know, it was individualized and stuff. This became scientifically and is being recognized a lot better now.
Okay. That's awesome. So what kind of different populations do you work with?
Well, basically I work with symptomology rather than populations, just because horses can work with just anybody. They don't care about diagnosis. They don't care if you have the greatest smartphone or you don't. They meet you where you're at as you are in that moment. So how I approach this, I work with anxiety, depression, and traumas, which we all suffer from in some form, and then work around that. I was one of the few trainers here in the Phoenix Valley that created a program where I was doing riding lessons for kids 5 and up.
Oh, wow.
Most trainers wouldn't take them till 8 or 9. So I have a lot of experience with younger. So I work with 5 and up, you know, as far as that. I work with individuals, youth, adolescents, families, couples, and groups. And I even do small businesses or business corporate type. I can do team building exercises, all sorts of things. It's a very fluid modality. And I believe because my uniqueness of 35 years of working with people and horses, and as I said, how I got into it, lends me very uniquely to it. Plus, so not only do I have the experience, but I also have the education to go behind that, that morph it together very well. And so that's kind of how I approach it, rather than just a specific population. And that, so I'm working with addiction recovery group now, and I'm actually working in programs that are coming up as the weather's cooling down here with the reentry for incarcerated populations.
Oh, okay.
Well. And I've just made some contacts to work with the veteran population as well. So, because we all suffer from anxiety, depression, and we all carry some sort of trauma somewhere.
No, I love that you said that, because like I spent like the majority of my career like working at treatment centers, and again from the state of Minnesota. You know, I really just wish that, you know, treatment centers use more of your modality too.
Well, and that's partly where what I'm working on is developing. I'm working to bring my modality to others. I'm going to actually pioneer kind of something a little different. I have my own facility, but I'm also working on taking my facility to others to partner with these facilities. One, to be able to help show them what we're capable of doing, to also help train staff with it, to improve things, do consulting, you know, or establish a working relationship with facilities and help them create their own program to sustain with it.
Now, again, if a therapist wanted to do this, they have to go through like a bunch of certification courses, right, to be certified? And equine therapy, right?
Yeah, there's definitely things. I mean, realistically, if someone's already a therapist, there are some trainings to be certified, but the best way is to actually be the way I am, have the master's of art degree in this field of it. But that's what I'm trying to work on too, is to create a program to help therapists and counselors and coaches that want to do this with horses to be able to have that information. That there are some programs out there that do it. I'm not familiar of all of them, But yeah, people always ask me, well, do the horses need special training? Nope, they're horses. It's the people that need the special training to help with this. So.
And I notice there's other animals too, right, that are involved in the process. I see sometimes dogs are used as well as the.
Well, yeah, I mean, most horse people, I'm a horse person by, nature. We have dogs. So, dogs and horses just go together. They're part of my process too. They add a unique thing. Dogs add something different because dogs are predator to predator. And so there's a different interaction between humans and dogs. But dogs, horses, and humans have been together for centuries, literally centuries. Of in some form, as far as companionship, horses were part of our transportation, all those sort of things. And even after the Industrial Revolution, they still didn't lose their place. And now they're kind of finding another place again, closer to the human heart now, if you will, to help support us and make us better people.
Awesome. So I always kind of wonder too, like me personally, like I'm fine with horses, but yeah, I am very afraid of their size. So yeah.
That's the cool thing is, first of all, you need no horse experience to do what I do. None. You've never been around a horse, that's totally okay. And two, we don't ride.
Okay,
Everything
yeah,
I do
okay.
is from the ground.
Interesting,
So
interesting.
there's lots of different ways I can address that. A lot of times, I'll check in with clients. As I always say for my clients, I am the navigator of their journey, they are the captains. So they get to, if they're not comfortable with something, I'll check in with them and say, hey, are you comfortable if you go in and say hi to this horse or do this or whatever? They get to say yes or no. And that itself can open a whole conversation because some people have never had that ability to say yes or no, to take care of themselves. It's been, you just got to go do this. So self-care is a huge thing. And I create a very safe place for that so that they can come experience that and have space held. And I have some that, no, not right now. All right, well, then are you okay if we stay outside here by the fence? Yeah, I'm okay. Or no, I'm not. Or yeah, I'd love to go do it. All these different things. It's very individualized in the moment. And that's why I said horses either give us what we need or show us what we need. I had a client a while ago that we went to do an activity in the round pen. The horses were in the paddock, and I asked her which horse did she want to take over, and she picked my white one. There's actually a picture on my website. She was the mare was laying down, and I got the other two horses, and she went to ask her to get up, and the mare refused to get up. Kind of pinned her ears and got grumpy at her, like, I ain't getting up. Which is very unusual for a horse. They're prey animals. So laying down is a very vulnerable place. This mare refused to get up. She kind of poked at her and I found, she looked, she's like, she won't get up. And I looked at her at that moment and I said, what do you need? To the client. And she looked and she goes, well, we need to get this activity done. I said, no, we don't. The activity is irrelevant at this point. This is about the process. It's not about the tasks. It's not completing them right or wrong. It's not anything, it's just the process. And she finally said, I just need some comfort and some companionship. I said, okay, she's offering it. So why not? And so I stood by the fence with my two guys, and she stood there and stroked this horse's neck while she was laying down for over 20 minutes. The horse went into REM sleep, deep sleep, which is very unusual. And just calm, quiet. And after about 20 minutes, got up, kind of nudged her and hung out with her and just stayed right there with her. Because that's what my client needed at that time. It was something that was missing from her life as she'd been abused and, comfort and companionship. And here this horse said, okay, I'm going to be incredibly vulnerable for you. I'm going to lay down, stay here, because this is what you need.
She knew. Wow.
Yeah, they know. Yeah. They know. How they know, I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. I just know they know. And without one of, well, out several of my horses, but especially the one, I wouldn't be here without them either. I've gone through my own personal journey. So I'm not just talking about this from, educated, person. It's this is my personal journey as well. I have gone through all this stuff. So when I share things about myself to my clients, it's from the heart and it's authentic from me, because my horses have taught me what I'm now teaching them, teaching others. And that's really powerful.
So I was wondering if we could get into like play therapy. Do you ever mix play therapy with the horses?
Well, yeah, basically. I mean, it's different. I can't necessarily call it play therapy, but yeah, we definitely do play. There's definitely times with that. I wouldn't necessarily call it play therapy, but I use a lot of objects. I have a giant blue and red ball. It's a horse ball. And
oh, nice.
Sometimes it gets used to release aggression, and other times it's to play. I mean, there's times that clients, they're in a good, you know, happy mood, or they're in a positive thing, and they're kicking the ball around and the horse is trying to bite it and play with it, or they'll
oh,
pick
yeah.
up one of their balls or play with a cone. Or in fact, the group that I finished up today at the end became very cohesed. I had them go in the paddock first, introduced, and everybody was kind of scattered. We did some activities, we did some education, and then I had them go back in the pen, and literally all three horses came around, the whole group came together cohesed, and the energy had completely shifted, where one of my horses was trying to eat the halters and the ropes and all this. It was just playing with stuff, which just kept. Several clients were trying to know, and they got into a tug of war and just having fun. Everybody's laughing. Completely different dynamics and energy from 50 minutes prior. This is within an hour. And I pointed out what I noticed, and they all looked around and went, oh, wow, they're all here. And yeah, a lot of people, some things resonated with them. They felt a lot lighter and they had hope, which lightens all of us. And the horses responded to that. And the horses literally were around this group of people at the end, because they were all one herd. And, you know, to take that away from, you know, from that experience and whatnot is, you know, that sticks with you. As I always say, name me something in your life that you have learned not through experience. Good, bad, or indifferent. There's nothing. So this is experiential. So you're going to remember it. You're going to see it. And the fact that these huge animals knew this difference from 50 minutes ago to, you know, fast forward and support that and play and have some fun and hold space for these people and say, you're part of our herd. You're welcome here. You know, especially for those in recovery of addictions and that from traumas, you know, abuse, that's powerful.
Yes.
To have this incredibly large animal who goes, I get you. I hear you. I get you. I see you. And here I'm going to do this for you with nothing in return expected except just be yourself.
You know, Michelle, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I know my first year of grad school, we actually had a coach do a presentation on her horse farm, and she told the most powerful story I have like ever heard in my life about these three girls, like all sisters and everything, and their mom's boyfriend was physically and sexually abusing them. That's like the backstory, right?
Right.
And the youngest was like 5 or 6, also being physically sexually abused by this man, and the therapist thought it would be a good idea to bring her a horse that was also abused.
Yeah.
And it was a young horse too, as a matter of fact. And it was such, I don't know, it's hard because I always get emotional when I tell a story, but she brought the two together, and the 6-year-old girl was just like petting the horse, saying, it's okay, I love you, everything's going to be okay and everything. And then she just like, she was comforting the horse in that situation, and she was crying. And then her two sisters ran over, more so because they were surprised that she actually talked, because she was very silent for the past 2 weeks. Like, what is your take on that? Because I don't know, that's a beautiful experience.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen, I mean, a session that kind of mirrors that, the power. I've been working with an adult female, and this is about our 4th, 5th session. And we were standing outside the paddock and checking in with each other and, you know, doing the basics. And Horses were just quiet, munching around, just hanging out. And all of a sudden, she started talking about her brother. And
Oh.
chaos ensued in this paddock. Suddenly, all three horses are chasing each other, biting, kicking, rearing. I mean, it's aggressive behavior. And as we're going on, and she goes away from that subject, things calm down. Each time she brought up her brother, this behavior from the horses happened. About the fourth or fifth time, she looks at me and she goes, "What's going on for them?" And I looked at her, I said, "What's going on for you?" Because as she was talking about her brother, there was no affect change, no change of tone of voice, no energy change. You could tell she was angry about this, but there was nothing to show it except the horses had picked that up. And she couldn't articulate it at that time. So I asked her, I said, "Okay, what do you see the horses doing then?" Well, they're kicking each other, they're butting, they're aggressive, they're going after each other. I said, "What emotion would you put on that?" She goes, "Well, they're angry." I said, "I've noticed every time you talk about your brother, this happens. Are you angry around things with your brother?" "Well, yeah, but," and from where she's coming, she couldn't address it, you know, our family rules, things like that. But right then and there, it gave her the courage. They visualized, vocalized, if you will, through body language, communicated it was okay to be angry, because the moment she shifted, they went back doing their thing.
Okay.
That it was okay to be angry. And so fast forward 2 weeks, turns out that the following week she was actually going on a family vacation with her brother.
Oh.
So then she comes back and I looked at her and I said, "Well, I'm interested to hear this." And she said, I said, "So tell me about it." This time she had an affect change, tone of voice change, and her energy was completely different. She's talking about this happened and that happened and na-na-na. It's like, okay. And I finally looked at her, I said, "You look and sound angry." And this time she goes, "You know what? I am." Just like that. The power. So a lot of it is the horses give us permission because they're not human, but they are emotional. They're sentient beings. And I believe that's a lot of the power, that we have so many rules and regulations put on us by
Yes.
society, by our families, by interpersonal relationships, internal relationships, that, you know, well, you can't be this way, you can't say this, you know, it's big boys don't cry, and
Yes.
big girls shouldn't get angry, you know, we should cry, you know, all these things that just are a bunch of garbage,
Holding our
because,
emotions.
right,
Yes.
we're human. Whether you're male or female is irrelevant. You're human. You have these things. We process them differently. That's fine. But, you know, to me, it's kind of a joke that I always say, if males weren't supposed, you know, if you weren't actually supposed to be, you know, cry, big boys don't cry, then why do you have tear ducts? You know, if women are supposed to not be angry, you know, it's not ladylike to be angry, then why do I have that emotion? Yeah, I'm human. And I think a lot of that's the powers. The horses see through those masks, the facades, the defense mechanisms. They'll call you on them, but they see through that. And if you show up authentically, or at least inside, and you're willing to do this, then they give you what you need or show you what you need. And she needed to be shown it was okay to be angry.
Yes.
And so with what you were saying, that story, you know, the little girl could connect with something that's loving, caring. She could sense that. She could feel that. That horse was safe because he's powerful, he's big, but he was also hurting,
Yes.
you know. And so suddenly communication comes back online because their system is calming down enough and coming out of survival mode that she could start talking again.
Wow.
You know,
That's
she had something to
beautiful.
care for, especially being the youngest. You know, she's the bottom of the pile trying to pick everything up. Who's there for her? You know, it's chaos. Her older sisters are getting abused. She's getting
Yeah.
abused. Who does she turn to in her human herd that's going to hear her and be there to support her? In that chaos, there isn't a whole lot of people there that will do that. But here's this horse that goes, "I'm here. I get you. I see you. And you can turn to me. I'll carry your burdens for right now. You can lean on me." And that in itself is incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. God, yeah, it's such a powerful moment in the scene. I wasn't even there and I'm just feeling it, you
Oh,
know.
absolutely.
God. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. There's all sorts of stories and different things, and that's what I love about what I do, because I can work with so many in different ways. I can work independently as my own, as Spirit Mountain Healing Center, and doing what I do, so somebody comes to me directly. But I also can work conjunctively with recovery centers, with private practices. In fact, I met someone at a networking yesterday, private practice, and she's like, I've got this one client that's just kind of stuck. And it's like, okay, well, let's work together. Let him come over and we can work on some things here. Give me some basics. We can shift the perception of everything. And give them a different way to look at things and then go back. I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm here to support. And it's not all talk therapy, traditional therapies work for everybody.
Right.
And a lot of us dealing with high anxieties, depression, and traumas, realistically, the last thing we want to go do is sit in a room and talk about our problems. We want to go do something about it, make us feel better, and let's move on.
Right.
And I can do that from the first session. I can give people even that small little glimmer of hope that, oh, I'm not broken. I'm just stuck, and I can get out of this. And that's the power of the horse.
It's so amazing. And again, I remember when you said early on, I'm not going to analyze you. I'm not going to psychoanalyze you or try to figure out. You're going to tell me, or you're going to show me what's going on with you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I purposely, people always come and say, well, what's their names? And I purposely tell them, I'm not going to tell you their names right now. It's not important. Well, but I said, we all carry enough labels as it is. And especially this group this morning, I mean, they're already labeled as addicts.
Right. Oh, yeah.
One was already labeled all his life as being broken. When I told him, I said, you're not broken, you're stuck. He about burst into tears. Because he said, all my life, everybody around me has always said I'm broken. I said, you're not. You're just stuck, and we can help you move forward. And that changed his whole energy, his whole being. And from when he first went in with the horses to when he went in the second time, completely different reaction. He was actually one of them playing with it, with the rope and playing tug of war and
Oh, awesome.
The one was, kissing him and just engaging in a completely different way. And he was open, don't get me wrong, but that opened him up even more because suddenly that burden had been lifted from him. Wait, I'm not broken. I'm just stuck. Okay. I use the analogy a lot of times of 4x4ing. Anybody that's off-roaded at some point or in the snow, because I'm from Wisconsin, you get stuck.
Yep.
Well, if you're 4x4 and you get stuck in the mud, does that mean your truck's broken? Or is it just stuck? And so the discussion opens up of, okay, your truck is stuck in the mud. What are things you can do to get it unstuck? Well, you could rock it back and forth. Well, that may work, okay, but is it going to work every single time? No, probably not. Not in every situation, okay. Let's say that doesn't work. Let's say it buries it even deeper. All right, now it's up to the axles in mud. All right, so now what? Well, might need to get somebody to help me pull me out. Okay, any of those scenarios, does that mean that truck is broken?
Right.
No, it's just stuck. And that a lot of times we need help to get unstuck, and there's nothing wrong with that.
The problem is people struggle asking for help. That's huge in
Because our
itself.
society has put on asking for help means there's a weakness with you, there's something
Yes.
wrong with you. If that's the case, we should be able to meet all our needs individually on our own by ourselves.
Yes.
But we're not hardwired that way. Because if we were, you and I wouldn't be on this Zoom meeting. We wouldn't be doing this podcast. I'd be out of a job. We wouldn't have recovery centers. We'd all go live in our own caves and do our own thing. But we're not hardwired that way. We are hardwired as herd animals. We can take care of a lot of things for ourselves, but there are certain hardwired things that, and that's the connection part, that we have to come together. Horses, Horses are herd animals too. They do not do well individually. It causes all sorts of problems with them, and it can kill them because it's too much. Their system, they're on anxiety all the time, on high alert because they're all by themselves, because that's not how they're designed to work.
Do you think it has a lot to do with, again, our tribal society, as in humans were not meant to be alone? They're meant to like live in a tribe together, look after each other, protect each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I call it a herd because I'm a horse person. But yeah. And a lot of times my herd will, just like with this group, accept humans as part of their herd just because that's what they needed and that's part of what a herd does. The herd looks out for each other. If they need help, they help each other. You know, animals do it all the time. I mean, elephants are always amazing to me. When they lose, you know, a member of their herd, they mourn. They stay with that. You know, I was reading an article not too long ago about an elephant, somewhere wild elephants, and that a gal was tending the garden, had the baby put by a tree and stuff, and a herd was coming through, you know, a major thing, and the baby was in trouble. And one of the female elephants actually protected that baby and then covered it with ferns to keep it cooler and then walked off. I mean, there's all sorts of this, and we are animals too. Yes, we have a little different brain, but on the basics, on the base level biology, we are animals at nature. And if we can get back to it, it's like the saying I have on my website and that I use is it came from my graduate work, is we were asked, why horses? Why not dogs? I mean, there's all sorts of other animal therapies and stuff. And I had a discussion, and what resonated the most was is horses bring us back to simplicity so we can process the complexities of our life. Because if we break everything down into simple things, then we can build it how we want to make it complex. But if we don't know how to do that, then life is just complex and overwhelming. I mean, it's like building skyscrapers and the huge buildings they build, those are very complex structures. But if you don't get the simplicity of that structure together correctly, it doesn't matter. The complexity is going to be it's going to fall apart. And that's the thing is we get so stuck in this complexity of not being able to answer the why. Why is this guy abusing me? Why is this happening to me? Why can't I keep this job? Why can't I be in this relationship? Why am I so miserable? All of these why questions. And when we get stuck, it becomes very complex. It's like back to the 4x4. We're stuck in the mud and we get out and all we see is mud and the truck's stuck and we can't see anything else. And that's predator mode because we're very linear on that. Horses help see us more in a prey mode. The whole picture and start to change that for us and give us an opportunity. The moment we have hope, we have some choice, which means we can do something different. And that's powerful right there.
Very powerful. It's more like they're teaching us and
Oh, absolutely. I've always said horses don't teach us about riding, they teach us about life. And I've just gone down my journey. That's exactly what I do. Horses teach us about life and the simplicity of it. And then we get to choose how complex we want to make it or not make it. But first, we've got to unwind all those patterns and that complexity into its basic parts so we can deal with it and decide, do we keep it or do we throw it away? Or is it a maybe pile? It's kind of like cleaning the garage.
Right.
But horses help process that, speed up that process so much more because it makes this process, which is intangible, become very tangible. The group today clearly saw their patterns and it was right then and there. And that you could feel the whole group just relax because they're like, oh, now we have something we can do with this. Now I understand why I'm doing it. One of my famous questions I always ask is, does that make sense? And if everybody says yes, then I've done my job. Because if it makes sense, now you understand it, which means you can do something with it. It's when we don't understand it that we get stuck. kind of like getting that 4x4 unstuck out of the mud. You need to understand some physics, you know,
Yep.
traction, you know, where to attach the chain if you're towing it out, you know, how to shift gears. You know, you have to have that understanding. If you don't have that understanding and you're stuck in the mud, you're stuck in the mud until someone comes along. Either you figure it out on your own or someone comes along and goes, let me teach you how to do this. Let's work together so I can help you with this, because you're probably going to get stuck again, but this time you're going to have a toolbox of stuff to go to.
And I know we were kind of talking about this earlier, but like us as mental health professionals, we all need to try to do a better job of working with one another on that. So it just reminds me of that connection that again.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing. Just because we're mental health professionals doesn't mean we don't need each other. I'm still human.
Right.
You know, that's my favorite t-shirt. It says my therapist eats hay, because my therapist does eat hay. And then there's my human connection. I go to my horses to help regulate me as much, just not only for the companionship, but sometimes I'm struggling with things myself, but I know something's there, but I can't figure it out. And they'll give me what I need, you know. And there's times, literally, I've gone out to the paddock with one of my horses, all of them, but especially the one, and I'm just in that place. I need a hug today, you know, especially during COVID, nobody around, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, I just need some contact, that holding, that grounding. And this horse would come over and literally wrap his head around me and hug me every time. It's the most powerful thing I've ever felt. And, you know, a lot of times I just burst into tears because it's so powerful to comfort that here's this completely different species of animal, you know, who goes, I get you, I hear what you need, and let me give it to you. And the only expectation is for me just to show up as myself. Literally, that's it.
That's good enough, right? And that's good enough.
That's it. As long as I show up as myself, even if it's all messed up, you know, I realized not too long ago, my head was really scrambled about a lot of things. And I kept going to this horse, and he wasn't showing me it was scrambled. He kept hugging me and following me and supporting me and being there for me. And I was like, well, this is cool. But it didn't make a lot of sense to me until one day I finally went, oh, he was supporting me authentically because I was going through this stuff. I wasn't trying to stuff it. I wasn't trying to deny it. I was processing through it. I was being authentic to this garbage going on, and it, working on releasing the anger, the frustration, you know, all the negativity and things like that. I was being authentic. I wasn't allowing myself to get stuck. It was a long process. There was a lot of stuff that had come up, but to me, it felt like I was stuck, but he was like, no, you're not. And I realized he was supporting my process. And giving me kudos of you're going through this. You're not getting stuck. You are, it feels that way, but you're not. And how validating is that? Because in my head, I was stuck, and by thought alone, I could drive myself crazy and spin myself out. And because of that, I didn't. I got through it and fairly quickly with it. So,
well, again, you were starting the healing process.
Exactly. And to, yeah. To have that clarity of, wait, I am actually healing. Yeah. Wow, that's powerful. And nobody else, human-wise, could even support me. You know, I have my support system. They're doing their best, but I knew there was just, it something was going on. I couldn't figure out what. And then I finally realized what he was telling me was, you got this. You know, you're healing, you're doing the work, and you're hanging, you know, hang in there, I gotcha. And yeah, I got through it. So thankful for that, because there are not a lot of places we can find that in the human world. Even with co-therapists and, you know, like-minded people, we're still human and we carry certain things, whereas horses are prey animals, so they have a different view of the world. And sometimes that's exactly what we need.
Yeah, and like I was explaining before about, like, us as professionals having relationships, I also kind of want to get into, like, certain stigmas when we, like, have them with one another. And this just leads me to say, like, I at times strongly dislike the programs out there who are shame-based. Now, again, I'm not saying all treatment centers are like that, but they are definitely some out there that focus on shame and.
Yeah, and I think some of it too is just uneducation, uneducated, right, both for clientele and staff, and that there's so many different modalities, and not all of what I do works for everybody. That's why restaurants have menus, you know, right, because not everybody wants to eat a hamburger every day. And I'm not saying mine's any better than anything else, but I can support that. I could bring something different. We could shift this and make progress faster because it's now tangible. People are actually experiencing. I love it. You know, a couple that I worked with, I'm still working, but not too long ago, kind of struggling. Five kids, this, that, and the other, kind of chaos, trying to figure out how to go. So I said, all right, I gave them two ropes. I said, go out in the paddock, create your space with these ropes on the ground anywhere you want to. Then I gave them each a bucket of their stuff. And I say that in quotes, it had food in it for the horses, but their stuff was their emotional, their spiritual, their materialistic, their kids, you know, their life. Okay. Their stuff in their life, whatever they wanted to be. And I said, okay, I want you to go out in your space, keep the horses out of your space, and don't let them have all your stuff or have your stuff, however you want to do this. Well, immediately the horses like encroached on their space. They started giving the food away constantly, feeding them. And it just got huge. The horses were in their space, literally started dragging the ropes around, trying to get in their buckets. The couple was separated, you know, trying to fight their own battles because they each had a horse and there's a third one that keeps interfering. You know, it's just total chaos. So after a little bit, I said, okay, come on out. So we processed, and they're like, wow, that's our life. We're always trying to bribe this and try to make this happen. And we have no space for ourselves and all this stuff. And they looked at me and said, what do we do? And I said, this is the cool part. What do you want to do? You get to go practice right now. Come up with different ideas. See if it works. See if it doesn't work. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But you get to go practice. Immediately the wife's like, we're having one bucket. We're putting all our stuff in one bucket. And the husband's like, we'll do this. So they went out and they redid their rope and they did something different. And then they brought the buckets out, and that they tried different things and got a completely different result. They didn't give their food. They didn't give their stuff away. In fact, they set the bucket on the ground. Before, they couldn't even set them on the ground because the horses were in them all the time. They set the bucket on the ground. They worked together very well. And instead of just saying, go away, try to give us our space, they said, no, this is our boundary. Mm. We're here for you, but this is our space. And the horses respected it. And if they did come in, it was a foot now, or maybe 2 foot. And they, you know, would push them back. And they, nope, you can't have your foot in my space. You need to be outside. But when you're outside, we're here. But this is our space. This is for us. And we ask you respect it. And the horses absolutely did. In fact, one actually disengaged and went off and took a nap. Wow. Even though they had food. And they decided when they came out that they, at that point, would reward the horses with a handful of stuff. Mm-hmm. And this time the horse wasn't trying to bully them for it and all this stuff. So right there, you know, they got to practice in the moment. And so then we had a discussion about what they got from it and what they could take out from that, what they changed to go implement at home, which they did and got a huge shift. Several of their kids are like, oh, thank goodness you're doing this. We've been trying to get you to, and the system all calmed down. We've got a lot of work, but that was a huge change right there. And that was all in an hour. All that happened in an hour.
So you're combining like family therapy, setting boundaries with like equine therapy, right? Like
I work on boundaries all the time, whether it's family or not. It's irrelevant. We all need boundaries.
Absolutely.
Whether it's individual, just happened to be with this couple, but we've done it. I mean, I work a lot with boundaries, communication skills, anger, you know, emotional release and cleansing, that sort of thing, energy work. You know, because those all play into it, you know, and the education around all that. So, boundaries, that exercise gets used a lot for a lot of different people and stuff, whether it's individual, couple. I've done mom and daughter, mom and son, you know, it's
really? Okay.
Also, I've done families with it. Yeah. And that's the cool thing. A lot of these activities, I can morph them to match whatever it needs, whatever they need at that moment. The group this morning, I always try to assess kind of where they're at, and it organically shows. And as I'm doing some education, there's a piece showed up and it's like, come on, guys, let's go do an activity. I knew exactly where I needed to take him, and it was exactly what needed to happen.
Wow.
And that, so I may be lost at words, but I always just I trust the process. And a lot of people learn to do that too, to trust the process, mm-hmm. and go with it, because we're told that all the time and we go, yeah, whatever, because the process just seems to kind of keep getting us stuck. But this is all about process. And, you know, and even a conversation around if you don't trust the process, okay, so let's explore that. How can we help you trust the process? Because life is a process. What can we do to help this? And on the positive side too, it's not always negative stuff. A lot of times I do work with people on what's working for them. They come to me and say, oh, this isn't working. And what shows is, well, I see more stuff that is working than not. You're stuck on this one piece, but I see all of this. And suddenly, wow, oh yeah, that's empowering right there. Because we tend to focus on what's worst and right in front of our face.
Absolutely.
We can't see the big picture, where I can, and the horses will always tell me where it's at. So that's where a lot of my 35 years experience comes in, of understanding horse behavior, human behavior, and those interactions from riding lessons and training horses and dealing with anxiety, depression, and traumas and that. So I trust the process, because however the horses know, they know what's best. And I just facilitate. I mean, I'm kind of the bridge between the two, to ask questions and get people thinking. Most people, you know, leave just with their head kind of reeling in a good way of wow, and just a whole different thought process and energy level and whatnot, which is empowering. And that's part of healing right there. You know, understanding I'm not stuck, you know, I'm not broken, I'm stuck. And I may need to rock it, I may need to chain, you know, whatever tool in my toolbox. And a lot of us don't, but very quickly I can help build that.
Or help teach those tools.
And teach those tools, exactly. And then the cool part is you get to go practice them.
You know, sharpen them.
Got a young boy who, I just got an update from him. He's about 10, a lot of anxiety issues. He saw a traditional counselor for anxiety coping skills, and he definitely did better. But his meltdowns were 8 or 9, 2 or 3 times a day. Mm. So it was really starting to affect. He's got siblings. He's a middle child. And so anyway, they decided to bring him here to try something different. And it was perfect example, because he already had the skills, the toolbox with the tools. He didn't know how to use the tools.
Yes.
So he got to practice and learn how to use them with the horses.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. And what's really cool is his younger brother just started school for the first time. And this client is now helping his brother with his tool set. He's teaching him now how to deal with the anxiety and the issues. And basically, the meltdowns are maybe once a week, and they're a 6 or a 7 on the 10 scale. Mm-hmm. And everything is calmed down, and he's just a cool kid who loves to help, and he can manage himself. He can regulate himself. He knows how to use different tools at different times. He also knows that, well, I'll try this tool. Nope, not working. Okay, I'll go to this tool. You know, all through learning with the horses, all the activities, he got to learn how to use his toolbox. I mean, a toolbox is great, full of tools, but if you need to build a house and you've never used a hammer before, or a saw, or a screwdriver, or anything else, good luck.
Right.
You know, you got to have practice, you know, to practice on how to know how to use those tools. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we did. And I think it's really cool. Now he's helping his younger brother deal with back to school anxieties and stuff. And, you know, all the anxieties that are coming up, and that's taken a lot of weight off the parents, because they can help manage, but it connects better from his sibling, you know, because his brother is calmer and able to help things, And that, to me, that's what I, why I do what I do, because my philosophy, my job is to work myself out of my job. And he is the perfect example of that. He still comes, we're still, you know, maintaining stuff and making sure everything's there. But the fact that he's doing that for his brother and it's so natural for him means I've done my job. Mm-hmm. Because he's doing his own thing on his own accord. And that's exactly, and he's giving it to his brother, which means his brother will be able to give. I mean, that just keeps going on and on. And that is so cool to me. I love that.
Like, those are the stories that keep you going in this field, you know? Oh. It's just, we all have them. We all have them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's why we do the work, you know, because mm-hmm. we go through the garbage, because there are ugly days and there have been tears and yelling and, oh, chaos. And, you know, we all go through that. But when we do get to those moments, it's, well, I consider a lot of us mental health people kind of like gamblers, you know?
Mm.
When the payoff's there, we hold on to it. You know, still go back in through the mud and the muck and everything else and still go there. So, but yeah, that's what keeps me going, definitely.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're just about out of time and everything, but, you know, Michelle, I just want to, again, thank you so much for being on my podcast, being my first one. I really appreciate it. It was amazing. I learned a lot. I really did.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it. I thank you for the opportunity to be the inaugural one for your podcast. And I look forward to having you on mine once I get mine launched. It'll be called Looking Within. It will be my podcast. And, you know,
thank you. Like I said,
I'm with Spirit Mountain Healing Center. I'm located in Gilbert, Arizona. If anybody wants more information, you can reach out to me at my email, which is michelle.spiritmountain@gmail.com. You can reach me by phone at 480-988-2165. And of course, there's the website at www.spiritmountainhealing.com. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm on Google My Business. So there's always social stuff going out there. There's lots of ways to reach me. I am currently offering, for those that are local, an introductory session at half price. So if you're curious about what we're doing, give me a call and get it scheduled for half price and come see what horse guided coaching is all about here at Spirit Mountain Healing Center.
Won't be disappointed.
I hope not. I haven't had anybody walk away saying that sucked. So, well, I appreciate your time and everything, and look forward to hearing the podcast when it's done and having you on mine when we're ready.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Again, I just want to thank everyone for listening to my podcast, Behavior Health Integration. I just want to inform everyone that the information and content that was spoken in my podcast is not meant for therapeutic advice or services. If you feel you have any type of behavior or mental health issues going on right now in your life, please seek the counsel of a medical professional or a licensed therapist. All right, everyone, thank you and have a good day. Bye.